السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. نحمدہ ونصلی علی رسولہ الکریم، اما بعد. علماء کرام، موسٹ ریسپیکٹڈ برادرز، اٹ از اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ فضل، ہز احسان وچ از انلمیٹڈ اپون اس. ہی ہیز بلیسڈ اس ود اور لائف، ود اور سائٹ، اور ہیئرنگ، اور اسپیچ، اینڈ ایوری تھنگ ایلس. So we make shukar of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for all his ni'mats and bounties. If anybody has to praise us, we must think it's the praise of Allah ta'ala. Because if he had not given us the intelligence, he had not given us the strength in our bodies, we couldn't have been able to do anything. Hum aise rahe ya ke waise rahe, wahan dekhna hai ke kaise rahe. In this world, people can give us big titles and shower praises upon us, but we must always remember that there is a day of judgment. On the day of judgment, Allah Ta'ala is going to be the judge. Who was pious, who was righteous, and who was just pretending, or who had just some selected amal in his life and considered himself to be one of those very pious ones. All that Allah Ta'ala will judge on the day of Qiyamah. Nevertheless, a good opinion is a blessing of Allah Ta'ala, which He puts into the hearts of the believers for others. So I make dua, Allah Ta'ala make us worthy of those praises. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala praised him. And if Allah ta'ala praises someone, then we know that there can be nobody more greater than that person. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, if we have to open up his life, we know we require not days but years and years, and we cannot do justice. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala praised him, so therefore it is said that if you want to know the greatness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then ask Allah ta'ala. And if you want to know who Allah ta'ala is, then ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He will tell us who Allah ta'ala is, because he recognized him. And yet after recognizing him, he still says, I haven't been able to do justice. There's no time to go into detail on any subject on the day of Jumu'ah, because we have 20 minutes. So we can only leave some pointers behind, or some food for thought, as they say. When Maulana was talking, I just mentioned now about praising. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, if we have to look at his teachings, then we will find guidance for every aspect of our lives. Now in this age and time, it seems that each and every group has purchased Jannat, and they have made it as some kind of a guarantee they have achieved, that every person who says that I'm a Muslim and I belong to this group, or this Jamaat or that Jamaat, then Jannat is reserved for me. Now all of us believe that Jannat is reserved for us. Yet those great companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, whom he assured that Jannat is reserved for them, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Usman Ghani, that Mubashara Mubashara, and so many others, said that you are Jannati. But in spite of that, they had such kind of fear in their hearts that we must not do anything that is displeasing to Allah ta'ala and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, although Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam guaranteed them. So in one hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which comes to mind this time, if you look at the Quran Sharif, you look at the ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and the teachings of the awliya and the ulama and the mashayikh and the scholars of Islam, they do not give the whole of Islam every time that they talk to somebody. Sometimes they will give 6 points, sometimes they will give 5 points, sometimes they will give one dozen points. But if you talk about iman, then for example Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he was questioned that what is iman. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he could have given hours and hours of speech on Islam and Iman. But sometimes he just mentioned a few words, sometimes just a sentence, sometimes just a few minutes. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, إِذَا سَرَّتْكَ حَسَنَتُكَ وَسَاءَتْكَ سَيَّاتُكَ فَأَنْتَ مُؤْمِنِ. The mu'min is the person that his good deeds and good actions, I'm just giving the gist of it, pleases him. I mean, when the person does some good deed, good action, and good deed and good action is not only namaz, roza, zakat, care for the poor, the widow, the orphans, the destitute, doing social work, in the society, amongst the Muslims, non-Muslims. That's also good work. That's also amal salih. Making namaz, zikr, tilawat, ibadat, gash, talib, tabligh, whatever it is. It's all ibadat. So when a person does anything that is good, then it gives him happiness and joy and satisfaction. And when the person engages in any kind of haram, irrespective of what it may be, he is never ever happy with that. The Muslim can never be happy with evil actions and evil deeds. It gives him great amount of sorrow, grief and pain in his heart when he engages in any haram. So like that, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam sometime mentioned one or two things, sometimes more. In the Quran Sharif also with regards to Iman, you will find somewhere a few points, somewhere some more points like that. We can go on, there's no time for it. So one hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he said that you guarantee me six things and I will guarantee you Jannah. So Allah Ta'ala will give you Jannah. I guarantee inshallah you will get Jannah, but first you guarantee me six things. So this is just like that, that the whole of Islam is not covered in there. But the thing is, if the person makes amal on that, then it means that he will be making amal on the rest of Islamic teachings also. If you have to look at Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she also mentions about Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's akhlaq. Now in this hadith sharif, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, now he is saying that you guarantee me six things. What is the first thing? Usduqu iza haddastu. Now look at what he is asking. He says that you must speak the truth. Whenever you are speaking, you must speak the truth. Now this is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says as the first point. If you want to go to Jannat and you say Jannat is guaranteed, so then speak the truth. Now this truth itself, it has got a very wide meaning. The person must have sadaqat in his life. It is easy to just say that I speak the truth. But is there sadaqat in the person's life also? That means our outside and our inside, we must be truthful. Our zahir and our batin. Not only outside in public life, sometimes we speak some truth and after that we speak a lot of lies. There must be truthfulness. Even our appearance, if it is showing that of the pious and the righteous, then inside the heart also there must be piety and taqwa. It must not be that our zahir is something else and our batin is something else. Therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also in one hadith sharif, he says, my Allah ordered me very, very specifically about nine things. And in those nine things, the first thing that he mentions is that in my public life and my private life, I'm just giving the gist of it, I must fear my Allah. That means I must be conscious of the fact that my Allah is watching me, whether I'm in public or in private. Now, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there was absolutely no question of doubt that he was the most honest and truthful person. And there was no question of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam doing anything in his privacy that was going to be displeasing to Allah Ta'ala. So for whom was it? It was for us. So the first thing is that usduqu iza haddastu. I always say that when we go to courts of law, then even if there are Muslims that are disputing and the case has come to court for a hearing, then the Muslim also, both parties will say, I swear to say the truth and nothing but the truth, so help me God. Now both parties are saying, so help me God, which means that one of the parties is saying, oh Allah, help me in my speaking of lies. Because both cannot be right. So he's asking for help of Allah Ta'ala. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he climbed onto Mount Safa and the first invitation and call that he gave, at that time the credentials, as we may say, that he presented, what did he present? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, at that time also he could have shown miracles. Look at the number of miracles in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Yet on that occasion, the first call, he didn't say, I will split the moon into two for you if you don't believe in me, or I will do this or I will do that. Everybody knows that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave him different kinds of mu'jizat and miracles. Water gushed forth from his fingers. So many people in the army drank water. When there was no water, he put his fingers into the dish or bowl or whatever it was, and the water started gushing. Now those miracles are not going in that direction. But the fact is that on that occasion, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam merely said, if I have to tell you that behind this mountain there's an enemy that is ready to attack you, will you believe me? Now that is the kind of credentials he presented. Everyone there without exception said that we will definitely believe you because we have never ever found you speaking a lie. So now that is what a Muslim has to be. The first condition, if he wants Jannat, if he wants to go into paradise, then speak the truth. Now look at the number of lies in our marketplaces, in our bazaars, in our homes, in our colleges, universities, nothing but lies. In our government, in our parliament, in our cabinets, anywhere you look at it, nothing but lies. Every time the person wants to just dribble out, then he'll speak lies. Nothing but lies. So the first thing says, speak the truth. Now we can't go into any detail. Usduqu iza haddastum. Wa awfu iza wa'attum. When you make promise, then fulfill the promise. The terms of the promise must be fulfilled. Now again, another very important aspect of a Muslim's life is the fulfillment of promises and pledges that we make. Now just look at our lifestyles. How many promises we make so that we may break. A person promised, I will meet you at a certain time, I will pay you at a certain time, but unfortunately he could not make it. So then at least he tells that person, this is what happened, that is what happened. So that is acceptable. It is excused. But where the person has got no intention of fulfilling that promise, the person is taking goods, he makes promises. The person is taking a car, he's making promises. Or like that also, in so many other things we make promises. We make the promise and break the promise. So therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, you guarantee me 6 things, I guarantee you Jannat. The second thing is that when you make promise, then fulfill the promise. The third thing Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned is that وَأَدُّوا إِذَا تُؤْمِنْتُمْ. That when you are entrusted, that is what it means, that when a person is made a trustee of something, then he must fulfill the terms of the trust. He must not betray that trust. Now every person is a trustee of something or the other. A father, mother, they are trustees over the children. In the same way, if you take a school, the principal is a trustee. The teachers are trustees. They have got an amanat and a trust to look after. But look at the betrayal of the trust in our schools, in our colleges, in our universities. Can we trust our children with them? Can we trust our young girls with them anymore? In the same way, if you have to look at masjids, madaris, if you have to look at waqf and trust properties, now in all this, look at the amount of betrayal of trust. If a person is a trustee of a property of an orphan child, now that orphan child does not know what my father even left behind. Now this trustee is the one who is renting the property of that orphan child. So because he is renting it and the child does not even know what is the value of the property, so that person is going to pay peanuts as rental. And yet if it was his own property, then see what rental he is going to charge. So the betrayal of trust, because we have got no sort of conscious awareness that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is watching. Now we are betraying trust in so many things. So many doctors, they are trustees. Doctors are trustees over the patients. Many a times, we know the betrayal of trust. How many patients are just made to go round and round? The moment you go to the doctor, start taking this blood sample, then go for this x-ray, then go for this, then go for that. Why? Because they know there's a medical aid. So you have to make him go round and round. And at the end of the day, then they will say that there is a observation required. For a few days you must be in hospital for observation. Now there's so much of rackets that are being run. Who does not know about it? I'm not saying everyone. I'm talking about the general condition. That how much of betrayal of trust is there? If the doctor does not understand, or the specialist does not understand what is wrong with that patient, he's not going to tell the patient straight that I don't understand, you go to somebody else. The person is going to do whatever he can as long as he gets his money. So betrayal of trust in everything, there is betrayal of trust. From across the board, if you have to look at it, those people who are appointed as ministers in the government, they're appointed as prime ministers, or they're appointed as presidents of the countries, look at the betrayal of trust. Look at the countries of the world. Look at the amount of corruption that is in the countries of the world. There's so much of betrayal of trust. And yet, if that person is a Muslim, then he'll say, don't you know so much of social work I did, so much of namazes I make, so much of sadaqat I give, and so much of the ibadat I make, so therefore Jannat is for me. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that you must fulfill that. Don't betray the trust. Now we can discuss these three issues and go on and on the different ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in the Quranic ayat. There's so many, but there's no time, as I said, on a Jummah occasion. If a person is an imam, he can say, I will continue tomorrow. I will not be here next week. So therefore, the fourth point that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, وَغُضُّوا أَبْصَارَكُمْ, and lower your gazes from haram. That's what it means. That lower your gaze from haram. Now each and every one of us, we must put our hands on our hearts, take qasam and say that we are controlling our gazes from haram. When the person buys his videos and movies, when the person buys those Hollywood and Bollywood tapes, And when the person is taking that home, is he taking it so that he may lower his gaze from haram? All those people who are switching on all the haram on the television screen, or the porn sites, and all the other haram that is being viewed, then is it not deliberate? Is it not something that the person is willingly and wittingly doing? And here what we said is that the person's sin was causing great amount of grief and hurt and pain. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, you guarantee me 6 things. And one of the most difficult things that is for us in these days, in our bazaars, marketplaces and everywhere else. One is exception. We know that the doctor has to look at the patient. We know the businessman has to look around at the customers who are stealing and who are not stealing and all those kind of things. Those exceptions we'll leave one side. There too the person must be conscious that Allah is watching. And he must not try to import into his heart haram pleasure. Haram pleasure must not come into the heart. Allah Ta'ala is aware of that. There too he must be careful of his gaze. But when we're talking about the streets and the airports and the hostesses on the aeroplanes and wherever the person is going, then where does that piety and the taqwa then go? Jis jahan mein rahun, jis fiza mein rahun, jis jahan mein rahun, jis fiza mein rahun, mera taqwa hamesha salamat rahe. Wherever I may be, he says, whether I'm on the ground or I'm in the air, my taqwa must remain salamat. I must be conscious that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is watching me. So therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that if you want to go to Jannat and you say it's guaranteed, so then guarantee will come when you promise me 6 things. And the fourth thing now is the lowering of gaze from haram. We will say this is very difficult. Indeed it is difficult. In our times, if you want wilayat, it is not on namazes of nafil, namazes plentiful you make, plentiful of zikr, all those things you will get sawab. But wilayat, meaning closeness of Allah Ta'ala and His rahmat and His mercy and blessings will come when we will restrain ourselves from haram. Irrespective of how little nafil ibadat we do, the restraining of our gazes from haram and our hearts from haram, that will gain us the closeness and the marifat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. This taqwa that we will talk about in the whole month of Ramadan was not only for the month of Ramadan. The taqwa is for all times. The whole life of the person. And if it was impossible, Allah Ta'ala would not have made it compulsory. So therefore, where there is a need to look around, it's a different thing. But otherwise, lowering of the gaze, the pain comes on the heart when the person lowers his gaze from haram, or when he's restraining himself from haram. And when will the nur of taqwa come into the heart? When he will take that pain, when he will cause the blood of his evil desires to flow. Like how qurbani, when we are doing, we place the knife on the throat of the animal and the blood flows. We make qurbani, the blood has to flow. In the same way, when these evil desires, watch this, watch that, listen to this, listen to that, steal, gamble, commit adultery, fornication, go to the gambling den, go to the discos, go to the rave club. Now all these desires are coming. The desires coming does not make the person a kind of a rejected person by Allah Ta'ala. Desires will come. The heart is a national highway. We cannot stop those desires from coming. The desires may come, the thoughts will come. But we must not stop those desires in the heart. We must not lay out the dastarkhan, as I say, and then say you are most welcome, and then entertain those thoughts, and then start fantasizing about haram, and thereafter even get indulging in those haram. So here, just as we place the knife on the throat of the animal and the blood flows, we will have to place the knife on the throat of these evil desires and let the blood flow across our hearts, our spiritual hearts. And when the blood of our evil desires will flow on our hearts and make it red, then the suns of the muhabbat of Allah will rise in those hearts. Just as we know that when does the sun rise? Go and look at the horizon first, the horizon turns red and then the sun comes out. And then it lights up the universe. In the same way, when we are going to slaughter these evil desires that are coming in our hearts, that means we are not going to engage in those haram, even if the thought came. Then we will find the suns, S-U-N-S, of the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala rising in that heart. Then Allah Ta'ala gives a noor in that heart, that even the kings do not know what kind of peace and sukoon and happiness the person has in his heart, who is a friend of Allah Ta'ala. Even though his outside condition may be like that, of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala an, who is martyred, his nose is cut, his ears cut, his liver and heart is removed. If you have to look at his body, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself, who was a rock of patience, but when he looked at his uncle's body, tears rolled down his cheeks. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, even at that time, everybody knew that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had given him the title Sayyidu Shuhada, that he was Sayyidu Shuhada. So the outward condition can be different, but in the eye of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the person's position can be different. So this is the something that we have to do if we want to really get that sukoon in the heart. Therefore the kings of the world also do not know what that sukoon is. Shahon ke saro par taaj gira se dard sa aksar rehta hai aur ahle wafa ke seeno mein ek noor ka darya behta hai. The kings, they've got crowns on their heads, but it gives them a lot of headache and pain. They are fearing all the time revolution and a snatching of their kingdom. Look at kings of the world. One minute they are on the thrones and next minute they are on the gallows. That is the life. However, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's walis and friends, and that's for everyone. It's not like some selected crowd or a selected group of people. Allah ta'ala has kept his wilayat and friendship open for everybody and simple. Do amale saliha with iman and amale saleh. Have your iman right and do the righteous deeds, then you are the friend of Allah ta'ala. So therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says lowering of gaze. Now on this subject also we can keep talking, but we know that from there you lead on to the next part, and that is the person is not going to control his gaze from haram, then he's going to indulge in adultery, fornication. So therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that wahfazu furujakum, and protect yourself, safeguard yourself from engaging in zina. That is what it means. That save yourself, stay far away from engaging in zina. Because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has condemned it. It is the worst sin. It is terrible. And we know what the punishment is. Now this is something which has become such a vice in our society. It is a scourge of our society. The number of marriages which are breaking down just because of extramarital relationships. And look at the number of problems that have been created in homes. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam loves us. Allah ta'ala loves us. Every hukam of Allah ta'ala, you look at it, it is nothing but out of love for the creation. Allah ta'ala loves us. It's not that he hates us. He just wants to punish us. He just wants to put us in the fire of hell. He wants to put us through difficulties. Na'uzubillah. What kind of Allah ta'ala there? Our Allah is loving, is merciful, is forgiving, is very, very forgiving. Look at the kufr and the shirk that people are committing in the world. Yet he's giving them food and drink and clothing and shelter. And sometimes giving them much more than many, many Muslims and believers. So how merciful that Allah Ta'ala will be over the believers. He really wants to forgive. He wants to give us the best of this world and the hereafter. Therefore Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, whatever he has forbidden, it is only for the good of the individual, the family and the society. Anything that's harmful to the individual, the family and the society, Allah Ta'ala forbids. But anything that's good, Allah Ta'ala will give the person the allowance to do it. We'll conclude with the last point in which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, hold your hands back. That means from zulm, from injustice. Look at the amount of injustice that people are doing to their wives, to their children, to the people that work for them, to our neighbors, our society. The amount of injustices that wives are doing for the husbands, in both ways, or children for the parents. Injustices are filling our society. Then we still claim the Jannat is ours. Now if we take each point and discuss, we can go on for the whole year, we won't finish. I make dua, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make amal. Allah ta'ala give us the himmat and the courage to restrain ourselves from all that is forbidden and haram. May Allah remove the difficulties, the hardship, the pain, the suffering of the ummat around the globe. And not only the ummat, but the entire mankind, whether it's a drought, famine, AIDS, whatever they're suffering from. We must make dua for everybody and ask Allah ta'ala to give them hidayat. The only thing we say, Ya Allah, those who have become stubborn, obstinate, they've made up their minds, they will continue with tyranny, oppression and suppression of the ummah, and they will continue with the bombardment and the destruction of the life and the property. Then, my Allah, remove them from the surface of the earth like you remove the Aad and the Samud. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.